Welcome to installment 263 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will discuss positive commandment 245, the commandment of Mekach u'Memkar, buying and selling, all of the laws of acquisition.
Although the Torah gives us many laws regulating buying and selling, the specific positive commandment here, the Rambam tells us, regulates when an object is actually acquired. When is there a kinyan, a change in ownership of the object? The Rambam tells us in Sefer HaMitzvahs that there are two different categories in general. There's a difference between karka, or land, unmovable objects, as compared to metaltalin, objects which are capable of being moved around. The Rambam first discusses objects which are movable, and states, by biblical law, one acquires giving money. Of course, the acquisition things are usually acquired with money. But as we shall soon see, today, money will not be enough to actually affect the acquisition. And as long as money has not been given, the deal can be annulled. However, by biblical law, money is good enough. As soon as the buyer gives the seller the money, the transaction has been effected. However, the Rambam tells us that today we need mashicha. By rabbinic decree, we require that the object actually be moved, be pulled, or raised up in the air in order to effect the kinyan, the act of acquisition. And the Rambam traces this back to a verse in Chumash Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 14, which states, V'chi simkru mimkar lamisecha, when you sell something to another, oikoni meyada misecha, or buy something literally from the hands of another. And the Rambam points out that from the hand of the other implies that you actually move it from his hand to your hand. And therefore we see that one must actually move the object in order to effect the acquisition. However, even though it states miyad in the Chumash, this is not a biblical requirement. By Torah law, midiraisa, giving money is enough. This is rather a rabbinic requirement, and it is traced back or compared to this verse in the Chumash which says miyad. Why is it that the sages came along and established another requirement in order for the acquisition to be finalized? In his legal code, the Rambam explains, let us say, for example, that the buyer has given money to the seller, and he has bought, for example, a vase. Now the buyer actually owns the vase, even though it's in the seller's property. What will happen should thieves break into the seller's house? Will the seller try to save the vase? Since he has already sold it and has the money from the buyer, he will not care too much to care for his property. He will care only for his own property. And therefore, he will not bother to save this which he has already sold. The deal has been finalized. Therefore, the sages established that until the object is moved, it still belongs to the seller. Even should the buyer give money to the seller, nevertheless, if he has not moved it, it is still within the ownership of the seller. Therefore, should it be stolen or should it be burned up in a fire, the seller would be required to return the money to the buyer, since the object still belongs to him. Even though a money transaction has taken place, nevertheless, officially, technically, it still belongs to the seller, since mashicha has not been done, it has not been moved. The other forms of acquisition described in the Torah are also by rabbinic decree. And the Rambam names them. Hagbah means to lift up the object. This is also a means of acquisition. And as he explains in his legal code, it's actually the primary means of acquisition. Should an object be capable of being lifted, one is required to lift it, and not merely do mashicha or move it. Let's say the object should be too large either to lift or to pull, but it is nevertheless movable, such as a boat. In that case, there is a law of Mesita. What is Mesita? The commentaries explain that if the owner tells the buyer to go and take ownership, or else if the buyer himself goes and physically takes ownership, for example, takes control of the boat, this is called Mesita, and also has achieved this act of acquisition. The Rambam then brings a proof from the Talmud to show us clearly that this is only by rabbinic decree and not of biblical derivation. The Rambam says that he quotes the Gemara, which says that just as our sages established, made a takana of meshicha, of pulling something in a case of sale, that in order to finalize the sale, it must be moved, the Talmud says, so too they established the same requirement for a guard, someone who is watching over an object, in order to show clearly that he has taken possession and is now responsible, he also must do meshicha, he must move it. This is the quotation from the Talmud. In the meantime, the Rambam has proved his point. The Talmud says that just as the sages established moving the object as an act of acquisition for this, so too for this. But they have noted that the sages were the ones that established this form of acquisition. By biblical law, money would be good enough. But by rabbinic decree, either meshicha, hagbah, or mesira are required. This is all regarding movable objects. Should we speak about land or something which is non-movable, there is a different law. And the Rambam tells us that the ways of acquiring land are different and are strictly by biblical decree. The Talmud tells us there are three ways of acquiring land: kesef, shtar, and chazaka. And the Rambam quotes two of them. Shtar means by document. Should one write out a document saying that the land has been sold, that itself accomplishes the sale. And so too chazaka, which means that the buyer has shown physically by either taking control, fencing in, or making a major improvement on the land, and thereby showing his ownership, he has also acquired it. The Rambam does not mention that money is good enough to achieve acquisition of a field, and perhaps does not mention it because of the law he mentions in his legal code, which says that in a place where the custom is to make out a document upon the sale of land, then money itself is not good enough. Should the custom be also to use a document, one must use a document in addition to the money itself. The details of this commandment that Rambam tells us are explained in the first chapter of Kiddushin, the fourth and eighth chapters of Baba Metzia, and chapters 3-7 of Baba Basra. In the case of movable objects, we have learned that by biblical decree, money would be good enough. But our sages have told us that it is not good enough, that we must do an additional step, either of moving or lifting the object. What would be the law if someone only gave money and did not do one of the other acts, and later on wanted to back out of the deal? The seller, for example, has received money and now wants to give the money back since the buyer has not moved the object. Is he required to go through with the deal, or does he have the right to back out? The Shulchan Aruch tells us that he has technically the right to back out of the deal, since there has not been a move made in the object physically, therefore the final kinyan or acquisition has not been completed, and he can back out. But our sages say that if he does such a thing, he is required to stand up and accept a misha pora in the Jewish court. What is a misha pora? A misha pora is a very strong deterrent for such an action, since the Jewish court administers a curse to the one who backed out of the deal. They say, misha pora me'anshe deramabo, the one who took revenge against the generation of the flood at the times of Noah, and the one who took revenge against the generation of the Tower of Babel, and the one who took revenge against the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed their cities, and who took revenge against the Egyptians and sunk them in the sea. The one who did all this, meaning Hashem, he should also take revenge against someone who does not keep his word. And this curse is administered to either one, either the buyer or seller, who tries to back out of the deal after the money has been given. It was thereby clearly understood as a very great deterrent. Let's say the money has not been given yet either. In that case, the Shulchan Aruch says that even so, our sages were not happy with such behavior, since a Jewish person is required to keep to his word. Even though technically the deal has not been finalized, it is a proper thing to keep one's word. And furthermore, the Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch that a person who is a Yira Shamayim, a God-fearing person, should keep not only his verbal agreement, but even a thought that he has had. Should he have decided mentally to sell an object for a certain price, even if the buyer does not know what he thought, he should stick to what he originally thought in his mind. And so to the buyer, if he is a God-fearing person, he should also follow through with his thought. Should he have agreed in his own mind to pay only a certain amount for an object, then even if he should be offered at a lower price, he should keep his earlier mental promise. And so too for any favor, a person making a mental commitment to carry out this favor for another person, if he is a Yira Shamayim, he should keep to it. Even though he might legally have no clear and absolute obligation, if he is a Yira Shamayim, he should keep to his word. Thank you for tuning in to Sefer Mitzvahs, a project of Sichas in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.